Hallelujah. What a great way to move from worship to drawing on the Lord with a victory. A victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I have had many opportunities during the week to think about God thinking about me, thinking about us, thinking about his people, God thinking. And of course, I have the opportunity at jail for 9 more times of trying to instill that into the hearts of people. Because if we consider that God is thinking about us, if we can imagine, you know, that he thinks about us the way that we might sit down and just think about someone. As I said, it reminded me of the song of other fellows call me up for a day, but I just sit and wait. I'd rather contemplate on Johnny Angel, you know, thinking about, and it causes me to think about God the same way. You understand? Anything that brings him closer, anything that makes him more real, it doesn't reduce him, it just produces that relationship. You know, thinking about him, thinking about me, no matter what's going on, that he's thinking about us. And he's thinking about what is best for us. And the best way for us through walls, not the best walls to put up for us. You know? We were warned, and we have to remember, we were warned by Jesus, in this world you'll have tribulation, but don't worry about it. I've overcome it. Thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph through Christ Jesus. So we have the victory. We have the victory. Doesn't matter what it is, we have it. We talked this morning about Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat spread out the problem before the Lord, and the Lord said, don't worry about it. You're not even going to have to fight. You are not even going to have to fight. And they talked about it, and they decided to send out the praises of, we're not going to fight, we're going to praise the Lord on the way. They got there, what did they find? Nothing but dead bodies. Nothing but dead bodies. How many dead bodies, and how long did it take them to gather the spoils? It took them 3 days to gather all the victories of a war they never fought. So we need to remember that God fights for us, and we also need to remember to gather the spoils. You know, if you want the victory, tell him what you want. You know, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. I mean, he's on the main line. Well, that's just, you know, you don't just talk to the Lord on the telephone. You better be talking to the Lord while you're on the telephone. You're going to need him in that conversation, right? And so I've asked the Lord to make sure that I remember that he's thinking about me, and to think about him thinking about me whenever I'm thinking. just because it's done something in my heart. It has, and you know that's what I want. I want things done in my heart. I want to go out in a sprint to the Lord. I don't want to just lay back, you know. I want to keep growing. And this morning I was reading a devotional, and the last thing that this guy asked, he said, "Are you producing spiritual fruit, or are you just soaking up rain?" Because we are fields, right? And God sends the rain to the fields. And God takes care of the fields. Paul said, one waters, another plants. God gives the increase, and we are fields. And you know, that I read that, like, am I producing or just soaking up rain? We don't want to just be rain soakers, do we? You know, we thank the Lord for the rain this morning, right? So that is wonderful. For me, like I said, I woke up, I hadn't heard anything. I don't know if it was noisy around here or if it just rained, but I looked out and I thought, man, that dew must be heavy this morning. Then I went and looked at the rain gauge. 95 hundredths of rain in the rain gauge, and it's like, wow, where did that come from? I mean, one guy said that he thought that they said only God half an inch, and somebody at Fort Pierre got 3 inches. So, you know, the water is different, but the fact is that it came, and I don't even have a farm, but I want that to produce harvest. I don't want it just to sit there and, you know, the crops go, this is nice, this is refreshing. You know, I'm tired of growing. We don't want to be tired of growing, do we? But we can be that way, you know. People can just go to church, and it may not even rain, but they'll think that they've got everything that they need, and then the week goes, and that's just that way. Non-productive. Non-productive, you know. Who will you tell about Jesus this week? Who will you pray for this week? What will you do with the rain this week? The rain and the rain that you should have, we should all have, the rain that we should have on us daily as we seek the Lord. You know, we need to seek the Lord every day. It's not difficult to seek the Lord, to talk to the Lord as we go, as we move. But as we do that, it should create a hunger that we have to continue to get in the rain and be determined to produce fruit. Now, works don't save us, do they? But I think that works performs something in us that helps to keep us going about the Father's business, you know? Recognizing that we are fields. Why were we saved? We were saved to go, right? Is there anybody that Jesus mentioned that didn't need to go? Anybody, you know? I mean, because there are people that will say, well, you know, God doesn't expect me to do that. God has given everybody everything that they need to do just that. What's that? Whatever God says. Right? You know? And so there's always somebody, there's always some way. You know, the Bible app, it's always saying, you know, they're out to reach a billion souls. They're nearly to a billion downloads with that app. And they say, you know, tell somebody about the app. One word from God can change a person's life. One word of Scripture, even somebody that's not hungry for Scripture, even for somebody that doesn't know anything about Scripture, one word can change someone's life. Today, in response to a message that the enemy was trying to take someone, we spoke a word into the atmosphere that took care of that. You know? We spoke a word of retrieval. We spoke a word of not just retrieval, but then victory. Why would I believe the Lord put that on your heart, Vicki? Why would God speak of victory that's a productive victory? Because we don't want to just have the reign of deliverance and then no fruit. Because the fruit keeps us going. The fruit keeps us going. Danica, what you doing? Playing the drums back there? Quit playing the drums. Or else we're going to have to sing a song. No. But you know, the thing is that if you're active, you're healthier, aren't you? And so the same goes for when it comes to the things of the Lord. We don't want to just be soaking up rain. We want to be producing fruit. Producing a harvest. You know, I read four verses in the Bible. I'm good for the day. Well, honestly, if you read it in a productive attitude, guess what? You might only read one verse. And one verse will begin to grow something. This message sort of came from a frustration. And the frustration was this, that I had a dream. And in this dream, it seemed as though someone was, and I don't know if I was a part of it or I was watching this, but they were doing broadcasts, and they were reading, and they were reading, I thought I understood, from the book of Enots. A-N-N-E-T-S, I think, Enots. And I'm telling you, I was laying in bed going, I do not know a book of Enots. And I was going through the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you know, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, you know, Timothy, Titus, Judas. You know, I'm going and I'm going through the books of the Bible going, I don't recognize this book. So then I'm thinking, well, it must be one of them. Extra books that isn't in the Bible that I read. And I'm thinking, so when I got up, that's what I was thinking about. And so I Googled it. There isn't one in the Bible. And so I Googled it again, and it said, the meaning of, so it is a word, okay. It's slang for a word that they use in England of in it. They'll end a sentence with in it. In it. I-N-N-I-T. In it. Indicating that isn't that right? That's about right, in it. You know? And so, ay. But then there was a suggestion that said perhaps you're looking for the book of Titus. And it's Titus. I don't know, but I'm going to read Titus because why not? You know, there's some. It wasn't foolishness, it was, I don't know what the Lord's got going on, okay? And as I'm reading Titus, I come to the end of Titus, And the end of Titus is, our people must learn to do good by meeting the urgent needs of others. Then they will not be unproductive. Our people must learn to do good by meeting the needs of others. That's about right, isn't it? In it. So then I'm thinking, okay, do I meet the needs of others? And then I think, do I meet the needs of others or just others that I would prefer to meet the needs of? Am I selective in my need meeting? Are there needs that are easier for me to meet? And are there needs that are easier for me to look away? Our people must learn to meet the urgent needs of others. Honestly, I suspect that I have failed to meet the needs of all others. Now, I could say, well, yuck, I can't possibly meet all of everybody's needs. No, but I think that there's a possibility that I have missed some that were there for a purpose. You know? I think that there's a possibility that I have, excuse myself, looking away, maybe. Maybe. Probably. We've all missed that. I see that need, but I would rather do this. But if I see that need, that might be the need that I'm supposed to meet. You know? Yeah, we, last month or something, sometime or another, Vicky's sister has been going to the laundromat for a long, long time. There was washer and dryer sitting at my daughter's house, but it just wasn't getting there. And we probably had different opportunities to meet the need by maybe just, you know, well, how about if we just send you the gas money, you know? But even if we did, that got used somewhere. I don't know. But we were driving out to Rapid the one day, and in 10 minutes, maybe 8 minutes, I don't know, looked. Vicky did the search and found a hardware store, ordered a washer and dryer. That was so easy. And just recently I told Vicky, I said, maybe we should have done that a long time ago. I don't know. But it was at just the right time. You know, I mean, I'm grateful for what I have. I am. And it was nothing to meet that need. Now, there might be 100,000 other people that need a washer and dryer. I can't buy 100,000 washers and dryers. You know? But did we miss that before, or did we catch it exactly at the right time? Or do we reason about it? Well, you know, you can only help so much. There's no limit to how much we can help if God is behind it, is there? You know? I mean, because actually when you start deciding to help, there might be people in the family you'd like to help and people that you wouldn't like to help. You know? And I will grant you, I have decided before, you know, who needed the help and who would really use the help right. I have, you know. But I'm not positive that God always wanted me to go that far in the decision making. I mean, we've got to learn. I've got to learn. I can still learn. I'm so excited about that. I'm so excited. I can still desire to learn, and I can keep on learning. I'm not coasting out of this life. You know? I'm still looking for ability that's greater than I could ever hope or imagine. So I don't have to sort pennies to decide who I can help, because they aren't going to make pennies anymore. You know that? Costs more money to make a penny than to have a penny. So you can see if you're confused by what I'm talking to you about. Well, I'm still probably confused about it too. But that's pretty simple. That's pretty simple. Our people must learn to do good, meeting the urgent needs of others. Then they won't be unproductive. Christians need to be productive, you know? And that, of course, means praying. But there's also actions with prayers sometimes, beyond the praying. I can pray for every foreign missionary, you know? I can't put any action on it there personally, but I can put action on it. We put action on it to help and you know the you'll be happy to know that the children in Kenya have food. Thanks to Hosanna. They have food. The children are good, they have food. Now that's like, huh? Can you imagine how big of a deal that is to them? That the food will always be there. It will always be there. We will see to it that it's always there, right? And I can tell you for certain that anybody around them knows that they are having food because Hosanna in America is making sure they have food. We've got to learn to meet the urgent needs of others. You know, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph. We have the victory. We have the victory. You know, some of the greatest victories I think that I win are victories over me. You know, who is the greatest enemy to giant faith? It's the person that doesn't operate in it. The devil's been defeated. But I have to overcome me. You know? And so I will grant you, I have an advantage at that, because if I'm going to overcome me, the best thing I can do is expose me. When I preach, I'm held accountable for what I preach. So I encourage you all to preach a lot. Speak the word. It'll hold you accountable. You know? I need to do more. You know, because I obviously, no matter who we are, we would prefer, we have people that we would prefer to help. And we have people that we would prefer not to help. You know? And we have people that can end their time in the line of people to be helped. They can end it by whatever, doing something that's contrary to what we think or like. This week Kent Bowers called me and asked me if I would help out on the distillery, help out with their irrigation and stuff. I told Vicki, I said, you know, I've been telling him I would help him if he needed it for 20 years. He finally got to the bottom of his list and called me. Last choice. Beyond the last choice, you know? I mean, seriously. But it has given me the opportunity. There's a lot of windshield time and driving past different things. And I remember driving by this one place going down toward West Bend. And there's a house where people live that we're not positive people should live in. But there's some nice cars in the yard. And I can remember that thought passing through. Their house is worth, their car is worth more than their house, you know. Well, you know, the truth of the matter is that we wouldn't have to buy that much of a car to have it be worth more than our house because we don't have that much money in it. But it doesn't make any difference. Because then I'm reminded when I was a kid, you know, we'd go pheasant hunting and stuff, and you'd be out in the country and go through these people's yards. And I can remember one time when my mother said that somebody had said, some wife had said to her husband, "I want a house. You got a combine, I want a house." You know? And I mean, you can build a pretty nice house for what a combine costs nowadays, you know? But I mean, it's like, you know, so we make these observations, we make these judgments, we do it all the time. You know, we do. We do. And some of them we're pretty proud of, and some of them we aren't very proud of, and we just don't talk about either one. You know? We could call each other on it. You know, we could say, "Huh? What do you say?" You know? We must learn to meet the urgent needs of others. Now, sometimes that urgent need doesn't involve anything physical. It might just mean a word. Young man that I'm working with, you know, I'm sitting, I'm thinking, I need to find out Jesus in his life. Find out about Jesus in his life. I said, "So are you a Jesus fan?" He said, "Not really." Oh, but his grandfather was a religious leader in his tribe, and so he said, "I'm kind of the way I was raised." So I've been trying to think of a way to work around that. That's an urgent need. That is an urgent need that people would know the Lord. So they must. So I learned to meet the urgent needs of others? Sometimes I think. What's urgent? You know, do I decide what's urgent? Do I not say, "Well, that's not urgent," or do I think, if I see it, maybe I need to ask him? Okay? Is this one I need to take care of? There's a road that goes through, I don't know the place, but it's out in the hills, and we go down it, and it's a great place for people to stand at a stoplight with a intersection there, and they got their signs needing help, you know? And it's a great place for them to be, but it's not always a great place to help because they're standing there with their sign. And if you're a long ways back, well, when the light goes, you want to get through the light. And you try. It's hard to read somebody's sign without them knowing you're looking at them. You know? So should I always just have some dollars folded up and so I can throw them, you know? But I have to tell you, a lot of times I'm thinking, is that a real need? Or are they making money? I'm always reminded of the panhandler from New York that had a condo in Florida. And when you think about it, the numbers, how it would work, if you were on a right spot in New York, you got 1 million people walking by you every day. If they give you a dime apiece, it works out to be something, you know. But is that for me to decide? It's for me to make myself available, you know. And I believe with all my heart that if God said that one, I'd stop traffic, hop out and take care of it. You know, there was a day I'd have just said, Vicki, do that, but that's not so easy for her anymore. So I have to hop out, and she has to keep an eye on the car. But you know, I mean, how do you feel about, you know, these are just things. You got a solution, let me know, but have an open heart to how you feel about it. You know? I mean, First Corinthians 15:58 reminds us that nothing that we do for the Lord is in vain. Nothing. So if I can't stop and I can't help, I can pray. But if I'm praying and God says stop, I can stop. And it won't be in vain. It won't be in vain. Even if we say it's not worth anything, God brings to my mind the young couple at the Walmart, and they were coming and used my credit card, you know, and I didn't get a chance to spend a long time trying to get them saved or anything like that. But I said, Jesus loves you. That's all they got. I don't know what they did with it. I don't know if they wasted what they saved because I feel it's not my business. It's not in vain. And I love those opportunities. Those are just easy ones. I miss some of them too, I'm sure. And this isn't anything to say, well, if you've missed them, this isn't any condemnation. If you think I'm meddling, there's no condemnation in that either. I'm just putting it out there. Paul was just putting it out there to Titus. Those people that Paul wrote and said, we must learn to meet the urgent needs of others, that way we won't be unproductive, you know. There were a lot of those others that read that and said, we don't have anything to help with. But nothing that you do will be unproductive. But how do you want to finish? How do you want to finish the race? You know, I want to finish the race more productive. I mean, I think about, you know, John, I can remember when those fields were the sheep's place, you know? And you never imagined that everything out there would be that productive. Maybe never wanted it to be that productive. You know, this is the times we're in. But you're still the boss. Second to the boss. Yeah. And so if you ever have to rope, you can rope. Whoa! Yeah. Who's in charge of us? We are, aren't we? I'm in charge of me. How do I do with that? Well, I'm willing. Search me and know my thoughts. Try me and know my ways, Lord. I'm willing. Sometimes when I pray that, sort of pray it, hoping it'll turn out all right. And sometimes I pray and I just know everything's going to be fine. And it's totally possible that those times when I'm going like this are the times I'm totally fine. And those times when I think I'm totally fine, you know. What? I thought, oh, never mind. You know. Yeah, I know there's times when I've come short. I know there's times. I hope that I haven't done it like on purpose and viciously. You know? But I'm sure. And I'm sure that there are times when I've wondered, and that's all it is. I just wondered. It wasn't like I missed something. It wasn't like I failed God. It was just something like, well, there could have been another opportunity. And maybe it wasn't another opportunity because I didn't take the opportunity, but I ain't perfect, so it ain't going to always go just so, you know. But I think that we need to consider. You know? I mean, God says things like, consider your ways. You know? And everything runs pretty well until it doesn't run well. But that just those two things spoke to me today. Like, you know, are you producing fruit or are you just soaking up rain? You know, I think, you know, I mean, because we can. I love the worship. I love you all. I love to come here. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I always am. I have never, and I think about that and I search my heart to make sure, I've never not wanted to worship with y'all. I've never been the pastor that said, oh, it's Sunday. You know, I just haven't. I've been fortunate. I've been very fortunate. That's because I got wonderful people. If there's one or 100, you know, been a long time since we had 100, but you know what? We got a lot of them via the internet that are part of our family. But I want to be productive. I also want to be in the rain. You know, rain down, Holy Spirit. I want to be in the rain. I want to be in the rain. Because I don't want to produce a dry crop. And I also want to do, because that's kind of one of the major things that Jesus came to do, was meet the urgent needs of others. We needed a Savior, and He met the need. He met the need. He set us free. Thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. And deep down, none of us wants to just soak up rain. We want to be productive. We want to be productive. Because as you sow, you reap. And we want to reap, don't we? We know that God is a generous God. God's a faithful God. God's a providing God. And we want to be provided for so we can meet the urgent needs of others, right? Exactly. So, well, we must learn to do good. Faith without works is dead. Faith in God produces, it does produce, if we let it produce. You know? We don't want to just let the runoff go and not produce crop. Amen? So, Lord, our people must learn to do good by meeting urgent needs of others. I need to learn to do good, Lord. We can always do gooder. And so we praise you, Father, and we thank you. We thank you that, Jesus, you always cause us to triumph. We thank you that nothing that we do is in vain. We thank you, Lord, that we aren't just rain catchers, but we are producers in the kingdom of God. Bless each one here, each one who hears, each one who has ears to hear. Bless us all with tender hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.